And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of The Awakening here on American Family Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. We appreciate you taking the time to come to AFR.net and check out the podcast, The Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, of course, Bishop E.W. Jackson. Great to be with you as always. Thank you again for all of your prayers and your support. Of course, since the last time I was on with you, we have entered into a military action against Iran, another military action against Iran, and that is blazing even as we speak. In fact, we are told that in spite of all the power unleashed, the targets, the number of targets hit, that the president says he has just begun. We haven't reached the zenith yet. There is much more and much worse to come. This is the result, folks. This is the result of one thing. Iran refused to engage in diplomacy, to negotiate what could have been a wonderful outcome for them with no nuclear weapons, but prosperity and stability and peace for this wicked regime, frankly, but most importantly, for their people. And frankly, they messed with the wrong guy because they thought that President Trump is like Barack Obama or like Joe Biden, these wimpy men who believe that appeasement is always the way to safety and security. I don't know what history books they've been reading. These are supposed to be educated men, but I think they're fools. Because the lesson of history is that appeasement leads only to more conflict, more destruction, and more loss of life. And President Trump's having none of it. He gave Iran a chance. They simply refused to negotiate seriously and to talk about the cessation of all nuclear activity. No enrichment, no nuclear enrichment whatsoever. And now they are paying the price. I have to tell you, folks, as I said, I don't ever dance on anybody's grave. But I'll tell you something. The world is a better place now that Ayatollah Khomeini and apparently another 39 of his cohorts, high-level government officials who were meeting with him in his compound, are all dead. The world is a better place. I am glad that they are gone because they are no longer here to plague us with their incessant obsession with terror and harming people and hurting people. We've had enough. President Trump just said, well, you know, we've had enough. He gave them a chance. They didn't take it. And now Ayatollah Khomeini, he's in hell. That wasn't President Trump's choice. That was his choice. Frank, I dare say it wasn't even God's choice because he had plenty of time in his long life to repent and to turn his life over to Jesus Christ, but he didn't do it. And so there we have it. And many, many more of them who take the same path of resistance are going to end up suffering the same fate. And they should. Now, before I go on, let me just say a word about these people like Rand Paul and a few others. Now, obviously, all the Democrats talk this way. Oh, the president didn't have any justification. There was no imminent threat. Blah, 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 blah. Israel has faced imminent threat from Iran for 50 years. The United States of America has faced imminent threat for nearly 50 years. I don't know how much longer we're supposed to put up with it, particularly when they're trying to assassinate our government officials. They're funding terrorists. We just had this Texas shooting. Again, we don't know whether I doubt that the regime had any ability to project to this guy to get him to do what he did. But I can certainly tell you this. He was wearing some kind of a shirt with an Iranian flag on it, and that said the property of Allah. So he basically styled himself an Islamic terrorist and a supporter of Iran. Now, and you got people like Rand Paul and others who think that we should allow them to have nuclear weapons. Folks, if they had a nuclear weapon, they would drop it on Israel. In fact, I had on my call today, I encourage you all to check out our Tuesday calls, the National Awakening live stream. We used to just make this a closed conference call, but now we're live streaming it. And today I had on an Iranian-born pastor, Reza Rafa, and Reza Safa, and he was talking about the fact that these people mean business. And he thought they might even drop a bomb on places like Saudi Arabia because they are in disagreement, because, of course, the Iranian government in Iran is a Shiite Muslim nation, and most Muslims are Sunnis. And so this is one of the reasons why you have this divide, and you have many of the Arab nations. Well, it's two things, really, ethnicity and religion, because Iran is, they're not Arabs, they're Persians. And they're not Sunni Muslims, which is the majority of Muslims. They're Shiite Muslims. And so they also made a lot of enemies for themselves by bombing places like Qatar and basically trying to attack some of the surrounding Islamic nations that they consider to be their enemies. I mean, these people are just, they're really suicidal. And that's partly why they're so dangerous. Because they're not rational. So they're trying to project terrorism all over the world. And they had gotten accustomed to idiot presidents like Barack Obama and Joe Biden giving them money to help them finance terror. I mean, these people killed hundreds, if not thousands, of Americans in Iraq while we were fighting the Iraq war. They have, again, plotted the assassination of American officials on our own soil. They have projected terrorism, financed terrorism around the world, plotting the attack on our bases in the Middle East, pretty much anything they thought they could get their hands on. We arrested, I forget the exact number, but we arrested a bunch of Iranian terrorists who had come into our country illegally when Biden opened the borders. And to think that in spite of all of that, Joe Biden released somewhere in the vicinity of about $6 billion frozen in American banks. And Barack Obama sent them, I think, $1.4 billion in cash in the dark of night. And yeah, folks, there are lots of things about leftist behavior that I fully understand. I have to admit, there's some things I really don't understand, other than the fact that they so hate, they so disdain, they so lack respect for our country that anybody who shares their antipathy for our country, they consider some kind of ally on some level. So Iran was just as soon put a nuclear bomb in the White House and kill Biden too, but I guess, and Barack Obama, but I guess from their perspective, Well, we all resent America, and in that sense, we have sympathy for you. I guess. I can't explain it any other way. And let there be no doubt, we know Barack Obama had and has absolutely no affection, no real loyalty as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I'm talking about, look, I think the man, I think he's a person who knows how to walk up to the line and not cross it. And I think that he would do his legal duty so as not to get in trouble himself. But I think in his heart of hearts, the man has no loyalty to the United States of America at all. Neither does his wife. And Iran's been dealing with these kinds of weak-kneed, wimpy, sissified men who, and Joe Biden, remember Joe Biden, he didn't want to okay the operation to kill Osama bin Laden. So, I mean, these are, and I believe Barack Obama did it because his military special ops people particularly told him they could get the job done. And he went along with it, but I wouldn't give him any credit because I just don't think viscerally that's what he really wanted to do. But he decided to do it, and Joe Biden never wanted to do it because they're appeasers. That's what they do. And President Trump is not in the business of appeasement. I mean, President Trump is not playing games. This is real politique. And when the interests of the United States of America are at stake, or the vital interests of our allies, make no mistake about it. Have no doubt. He will act. And you know who else is getting that lesson? Russia and China. They know. President Trump is not to be trifled with because he is not afraid. Not afraid what people are going to say about him. He's not afraid of the political fallout. And he's not afraid of military conflict when he really believes that that's what is necessary to get the job done. I think he's got a lot of credibility in this because he's demonstrated himself as a man of peace. He's been working for peace in the Middle East and working for peace between Ukraine and Russia, working for peace in Africa. Everywhere he turns, he tries to bring peace where he sees conflict. But he also says to this world, but if you put the vital interests of the United States of America at stake and you think that you're going to do that with impunity, you are sadly mistaken. Just ask Ayatollah Khomeini. Well, you can't now because he's dead. In my interview, I would encourage you all, check out. I would encourage you all to check out Pastor Reza. I thought I had no disturb on all my stuff, but check out Pastor Reza. Pastor Reza Safa. And that's a spell, well, let me make sure I'm giving you the correct spelling because I think this is somebody really worth learning more about. R-E-Z-A, Reza, Safa, S-A-F-A. S-A-F-A, F as in Frank, S-A-F-A. Check him out, Google him. You'll find out he has been broadcasting into Iran. He has been praying for the Iranian people, praying for Muslims to be converted, talking about the miracles that he's seen. This is important to say to folks. While I am glad at the action that President Trump is taking, and I'm glad that the Ayatollah and 40 of his cohorts are dead, and they're going to be more killed, and the world's going to be a better place as a result. But let's make clear. We don't hate them. I certainly don't. I don't believe you do either. Here's what we do. We love our country. We love our country. And we have a duty of commitment and love. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper who love her. We Christians, at least, understand we have a spiritual commitment to Israel. Now, when you start threatening the United States of America, death to America, death to America, you start chanting that, you get people in our country chanting that same nonsense. And then you want to develop weapons of mass destruction, which would allow you to destroy parts of our country, if not the whole of it. And we have already taken action to demonstrate to you that we are willing to stop you from doing that. And then you persist. You're letting us know you're serious. So now President Trump is letting them know he's serious. But we don't hate the Muslims. We pray for them. Look, folks, you know, this is what the left calls this Islamophobia, blah, 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 blah. There is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus, period. There is no other way into the presence and favor of God, into eternal life, except through Yeshua Yamashiach, the Jewish Messiah. Ultimately, the Jewish people are going to find that out. But we don't hate anybody because they don't believe in Jesus. We love them because we want them to come to know the love of Jesus Christ that's been shared abroad in our hearts. So I pray for the Iranian people. I pray for their peace. I pray for their safety, their security, and I pray for their conversion. But make no mistake, we are not going to sit idly by and allow any regime to threaten the safety and security of our people and to threaten to literally destroy the state of Israel and kill all the Jews there. And they're going to do that. It's been allowed to happen for a half century. I mean, how much longer? So praise God that President Trump is getting the job done. He's expecting that we'll be there 4 or 5 weeks. He has destroyed the entire big ship naval fleet of Iran, destroyed it completely. It's gone. They no longer have any naval presence. Now, there's some concern that they might try to block the Strait of Hormuz because a lot of oil flows through the Strait of Hormuz that the world needs. And President Trump is prepared to make sure that that cannot happen. I'm told that we already see some spike in gasoline prices. I haven't bought any since this war started. But I'll be buying some soon, and we'll see just how high the prices have gone. But look, folks, it is what it is. And this is one of the reasons why, once again, unlike Obama, unlike Biden, President Trump has said, we must become energy independent. We must become energy independent. We cannot. We cannot allow our energy security to rest in the hands of anybody other than the United States of America. Not Russia, not China, not Saudi Arabia, not OPEC, not Iran, not Iraq, not Venezuela, nobody. We have got to control our own destiny. And this is just, once again, points out why that is so important. And again, President Trump, I think, understands that. He wants us to be a net exporter of oil and a net exporter of energy, not a net importer. Because push come to shove, we need to be in a position to maintain our own energy needs without outside aid or support. And we can do it. But right now, apparently, prices are being affected by uncertainty over what's happening in Iran. You know, we live with that. I pray that that doesn't last long and that it doesn't cause too much pain or suffering for the American people. But it is a price I am, personally, it is a price I am prepared to pay. Because long term, we will have more stability overall And that's part of what the stock market is responding to, and probably some of what the commodities prices are responding to, just the instability that military action brings, because it does bring a certain level of uncertainty and instability, and one doesn't know what's going to happen. But everybody will calm down. I think this is more psychological right now than is anything else. But everybody will calm down. You know, the big traders will calm down. The commodities traders will calm down. And I really believe that we're not going to see any significant price increases in the cost of energy. Although that's not to say we won't see any. We might see some. But I don't think it's going to be significant. I don't think it's going to be long term, because the president said he's looking at 4 or 5 weeks to get the job done. And I believe him. So we just need to be praying for our troops and praying for both the American personnel who are carrying out this mission, the Israeli Defense Force, praying for our nation, praying for the nation of Israel, praying Psalm 91 over them and believing God for them. Now, let me do something on this that, again, you won't hear this in the secular media. You certainly won't hear it on ABC, NBC, the Alphabet Networks, or the Marxist Socialist Network. Used to be the Marxist Socialist No Brains Channel, but it's still the same godless abomination. But you won't hear this from them. You won't even hear this from Fox or Newsmax, for the most part. There's a spiritual dimension to this that they don't begin to understand. And the spiritual dimension makes clear, the Bible makes clear in the book of Revelation, Jesus made it clear in his prophetic words before he left the earth, that in the last days, Israel was going to be the center of mankind's attention and focus and the center of hostility against God. Israel and Jerusalem would be center focus. And we see that happening before our very eyes. The whole world is looking at Israel. Now, why is that? Because that's the city that God has put his name on, and that's the people with whom God has a covenant. And that's the land he gave to those people. Now, you know, these people running around talking about, you know, Zionism is racism and all that nonsense. Well, I'm a Zionist, because the Bible makes clear that Zion refers to the place that God designated, again, to put his name on. And to give to his people, his covenant people, under the old covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, to give to them as a place in which to live. Now, people can like that, they can dislike that, they can. It doesn't matter. That's the way it is. So, I'm a Zionist. I believe God set that land aside for the children of Israel. And I don't buy into all this nonsense. Oh, well, they're not the real children of Israel. You know, people have all kinds of weird ideas. But I'll tell you what, all of these little cult-like thinkers who think it's not the real Israel and all this nonsense that you get, and, you know, the Nick Fuentes of the world and Tucker Carlson's who think that, you know, Israel has no special place in history and all this, they're all wrong. And God, I believe, is demonstrating that with what Iran is getting. Because you know what this reminds me of, folks? This reminds me, because remember, this is ancient Persia. This is the place where Haman concocted his plan to kill all the Jews in the book of Esther. Now, obviously, I don't want to go and read the entire book, but I want to share with you out of Esther chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, because to me, it is instructive. Because in my view, let me read the scripture, and I'll tell you how I understand this from a prophetic perspective. It says, now Harbona, one of the eunuchs, said to the king, look, the gallows, 50 cubits high, which Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke good on the king's behalf, is standing at the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him on it. So they hang Haman on the gallows he had prepared for Mordecai. They hanged Haman on the gallows he had prepared for Mordecai. And you know what? Prophetically speaking, nuclear weapons are the gallows that the Ayatollah prepared for Israel. But that same gallows that he prepared for Israel is the gallows that's gotten him hanged on it. He's dead. Benjamin Netanyahu is alive. Iran could be on the brink of virtual destruction. Israel is very much alive and well. Oh, they'll take a few hits from these drones that Iran will send out. They may even take a couple missile strikes. Israel's going to be fine. The question is Iran going to have anything left but rubble by the time this is all over? And that's sad for the Iranian people. That's why President Trump is right to encourage them to rise up and throw off this wicked regime and establish a republic that is rooted and grounded in respect for individual liberty and human dignity and those things that allow people to live in freedom, those principles that allow people to live in freedom. But that Book of Esther was prophetic because the same situation is unfolding today, and Iran is ancient Persia. It's the same, these are the same people. I was reading in Isaiah a few days ago, and I came across this text, and after the war had started, I came across this text, just happened to be reading there, I wasn't looking for this. But it just jumped out at me, and I said, now that's what the world better come to understand, because any attempt to destroy Israel is going to end up destroying the people who think they're going to destroy Israel. Here's what it says. God says, behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them, those who contended with you. Those who war against you shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. I thought, wow. And look, when I saw that, that was as the war was just starting. So Khomeini and 40 of the top Iranian leaders weren't dead at that point. But wow, that is so prophetic. God says, those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them, those who contended with you. I don't know where they're ever going to find these bodies. Of the Ayatollah and others that were killed in that compound, because that place was annihilated. You know, God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, these people running around thinking they're going to curse and destroy Israel, they're just cursing themselves and setting themselves up for their own destruction. It is just that plain and simple. This Pastor Reza, who I had on my live stream call on Tuesday at noon, shared this as well. He said, you know, God is doing miraculous things among Muslims. Jesus is appearing to Muslims. Muslims are being converted. Muslims are being saved. They are coming to know Jesus. And he said, I would encourage the body of Christ in America to pray for Muslims. to pray for their conversion, to pray for them to come to know Jesus. And I thought, wow, man, that's powerful, because that's what they really need. They don't need this legalistic, you know, Allah told me to go kill people stuff. What they need is a true relationship with the only true and living God, and that's not Allah. That's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the God of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yahweh, Jehovah, Elohim, El Elyon, Adonai, the only true and living God. And when people get a hold of the truth, what did Jesus say? The truth makes them free. I mean, they're all caught up in Jewish hatred, hatred for Jewish people, and hatred for the infidels, and you know, let's go strap a bomb on our body and blow people up and all. But they know the truth. The truth will make them free. They realize all that, all of that violence and shedding of blood, it only leads to one place for their blood to be shed. One earthly result, and then, of course, an eternal result if they continue to live that way. Every suicide bomber is in hell. Every person who has died trying to commit an act of terror, died trying to kill Jews, trying to kill Christians, trying to kill what they consider to be the infidels. Every person who's done all that is in hell. No, there's no 72 virgins anywhere, folks. You all know this. They've been taught that idiocy, that contemptible lie. And some of them bought into it, thinking, oh boy, once I pull the trigger on this bomb, I'm going to immediately be translated to the presence of 72 beautiful virgins. Yeah, right. Yeah, heaven's a place where you can fulfill your sensual lust. I mean, what? Just demonic. And appealing to young boys, right, who are probably, because of the way in which they live and the culture that surrounds sexuality, are probably all bound up anyway and all frustrated anyway. And you tell them, man, this boy, just go kill yourself, man. You, what a time you're going to have. And being young and stupid, they buy it. So we need to pray for these Muslims, pray for the people of Iran, that they can actually live in freedom. Because, you know, we were talking about the fact that there was a time when Christians could live freely in Iran. There was a time when Christians lived freely in Persia, in Turkey, in other parts of the Middle East. There were lots of Christians there. And when the Muslims took over, they drove the Christians out. Either imprisoned them, tortured them, killed them, enslaved them, or reduced them to second-class citizens and mistreat them. Make them walk in the street when a Muslim's walking down the sidewalk, or make them, you know, you name it, genuflect. You're not, no Christian, no Jew, no person who is non-Muslim is as good as a Muslim, and you must portray that in all interactions with Muslims, at least in public. I mean, give me a break. So, but first and foremost, of course, let's pray for our troops, pray for President Trump, pray for the Israeli Defense Forces, pray for Israel, pray for our country, pray for Israel, that this thing can be dealt with decisively, quickly, and we can move on from it, knowing that Iran can no longer pose a nuclear threat, that a government, pray that a government will be set up that will no longer be pursuing nuclear ambitions. As President Trump, I think he coined this. He said, "We want commerce, not chaos." I agree with that. So let us pray that that's exactly what emerges from this, and that the people of Iran will realize they have a wonderful opportunity to reestablish freedom in their country and to live fruitful and productive and prosperous lives, to raise the standard of living there so they can all live in a way that they can be fulfilled in their own country. Okay, well, I don't particularly want to deal with this because I haven't. I haven't dealt with this because I don't particularly want to, but I feel like I've got to at least address this part of it. You know, the Oversight Committee is having hearings on the Epstein files and Epstein's involvement with government officials and all of that. And of course, they brought Bill and Hillary Clinton in, former President Bill Clinton. Apparently, a picture of Hillary Clinton, I don't know what it was, I'm not even clear what it was, but Nancy Mace, I think it was Nancy Mace, don't hold me to that, because I'm not trying to cast aspersions at all. But somebody posted a picture on Facebook, and Hillary Clinton, you can see the woman has no control over her own temper. I mean, you can see it. And we used to hear the stories about her throwing stuff and cursing people out, and you can see it. I mean, she just flared. Phew, boy, shot up like a rocket. You know, I'll leave here, and you can hold me in contempt until the cows come home. You know, this is typical, blah, 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 you know. But she claims she never met Jeffrey Epstein. I can understand that, because Jeffrey Epstein's activities weren't places where wives were invited to go. So I don't doubt that. But I have to tell you, when they show pictures of Bill Clinton kicked back in what appears to be some sort of jacuzzi pool on Epstein's Island, presumably that's where it was. I think he claimed he wasn't sure where it was, and claimed he didn't know who the people were who were in the pool with him. There are other people in the pool, and claimed that he didn't have anything for young girls. Well, his time at the White House would suggest otherwise, because he was there. I think he was in his 50s then, and he was cavorting with a 22-year-old intern. He would argue, I suppose you could argue that's a one-off, but seems unlikely to me, doesn't it? To you? I would just say this. I'll be glad when that is over. I don't think there's going to be any bombshell coming out of it. And there's certainly, what the Democrats really hoped was that they would find something on Donald Trump. And they're still trying to somehow smear Donald Trump. But Donald Trump, there's ample evidence that Donald Trump saw what this man was, banned him from Mar-a-Lago, called the police, complained about his behavior and his activity, told the police that Ghislaine was evil, that they better watch out for her. And apparently, Ghislaine had some kind of interactions. I think she was at, if I'm not mistaken, again, but I'm pretty sure I heard them say during the hearing that she was at, I think it was Chelsea's wedding, if I'm not mistaken. These people are nasty. And I already know that. I really do. Unless we uncover some kind of vast network or conspiracy of human trafficking and trafficking with these young girls, My guess is that that was Jeffrey Epstein was in control of all that, and other people were simply his customers, but except they weren't giving him money. He was using them to buy favor. He was using them to manipulate them, maybe even to have some blackmail against them so that they would answer his calls and do his bidding when he needed them. But folks, and I do not mean to be harsh about this or judgmental, but anybody who knows anything about the life of Bill Clinton has got to know, has got to believe. If you expect me to think that Bill Clinton, how many times, 26, 27 times on Epstein's plane, how many times was Epstein in the White House, multiple times in the White House? If you expect me to believe that all of that that Bill Clinton was doing, he claimed he had no knowledge of any of Epstein's sort of sexual proclivities or predilections. You might as well just go ahead and buy the Brooklyn Bridge from me, because I'll sell it to you cheap. I mean, that's why he was hanging around Jeffrey Epstein. Come on. And he said he has no, I forget the exact word he used, but basically he was not interested in young girls. He denied that categorically. And I would say, well, maybe he doesn't. But I'll tell you what, I think Bill Clinton has had and still has a whole lot of interest in women. And I doubt very seriously that most of them are grandmas. Now, I will really just leave it at that, because here again, I said I haven't talked much about this because, I mean, on one level, I know what the real game is that the Democrats are playing. They think they're going to get Trump. Well, they're not going to get Trump because there's nothing to get. And so this sort of slow drip, you know, this one rode on his plane and this one was found here. I don't know. Folks, I just don't have the interest in it, because I know some of these people, you just know what they are. And so this is really nothing new. I was looking at a documentary. Who was the guy? The guy played in Seventh Heaven, but you all know who I'm talking about. I'm looking at a documentary about him, and he never did a day for anything wrong that he did, although the man was just an absolute moral reprobate, because the statute of limitations passed by the time it was revealed the things he had done to underage girls. Now, I hope that changes, because as far as I'm concerned, there should be no statute of limitations for sexually assaulting an underage child, an underage person. There should be no statute of limitations. You know, statute of limitations meaning after a certain period you can no longer prosecute. I think that should be treated just like murder. And once it is revealed that you have done that, you've got to pay the price regardless of how long it's been. And now this will vary, of course, from jurisdiction to jurisdiction too. But yeah, as far as I'm concerned, unless it's a federal crime, and I don't think these sexual assaults are federal crimes for the most part, it depends on what the statute of limitations is for the state, but I think there should be no statute of limitations. Just like right now, I don't know of any state where there's a statute of limitations for murder. You commit a murder at 18 years old, and they find out 50 years later when you're 68 years old, you're going to jail. They can prove it 50 years later, you're going to jail. And I think the same is true for this situation, because you really ruin a young person's life. they are never the same after they are mistreated that way. Abused that way. And mistreated is too soft a word. Abused that way. Exploited that way. Violated that way. So, but that's another matter. And nobody's accusing Bill Clinton of having done that. He said he has no interest in underage girls. And then one of the Congress people said, I didn't say underage girls, I said young girls. He said, well, I have no interest in young girls. I thought to myself, okay, all right. So I don't know. I just think they're beating a dead horse. But let's go ahead and get all the information out there and try to satisfy everybody. And then move on, because the real issue is this, folks. This is the real issue, and I'm about out of time. But the real issue is this: our society has rejected God's standards for sexual morality. And I don't mean our society does not wholly live up to those standards. I mean our society has wholly rejected those standards. There's a difference, you know. People can have standards that they don't fully live up to, but they keep working to try to fulfill those standards. That's one thing. I'm talking about the rejection of the standards altogether. Who cares? Shack it up, no problem. Homosexuality, no problem. You know, all this transgender, I was just reading an article in preparation for this program of this mayor, a grown woman, mayor of a city, having intimacy with a 16-year-old kid at a party, apparently a party for her son. I mean, the real answer to all of this is to recognize that God is right and everybody else who disagrees with God is wrong. And what does God say about these things? Sex is for marriage. And marriage can only be defined as one man and one woman in the bonds of holy matrimony for life. Again, I know that we, even Christians, don't fully live up to that standard. I understand that. I know that. But the standard doesn't change because we don't live up to it. And we continue to come back to that standard. And to remind ourselves, that's because if you want to deal with just the big problem we've got all over this country with out of wedlock births, particularly in the black community, with 70 to 80% of black children being born out of wedlock, depending upon what city or part of the country you're in. And it's producing all kinds of social problems. Violence in the streets, drug addiction, suicide, domestic abuse, you name it. Poverty. Because we're simply not adhering to God's standard for how we're supposed to behave ourselves. When I say we, I mean the society at large. That's the real issue. And these Epstein files are simply, they're not the problem. They're a symptom of the deeper problem, as always. Well, look, that's going to do it for me. God bless each and every one of you. Don't forget the Stand Awards dinner takes place on Tuesday, May the 12th at Tyson's Corner, Marriott in Tyson's, Virginia. The dinner begins at 7 o'clock. If you'd like to support us, if you'd like to buy a ticket, you'd like to sponsor, go to standamerica.us. That's standamerica.us. And in the meantime, folks, we are going to continue to fight the good fight of faith, knowing that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought under obedience to Christ. So you know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.